So Steve, just first of all, kind of your take on Steve Smith and the acquisitions that the Ravens have made so far, especially on offense.
Acquisition, I think retention is maybe more the word, getting our guys, getting Monroe and Pitta back, Jacoby back. I mean, it's a, I think that's a coup for us. I think that Ozzie assessed the free agent market really well, like he always does. But Steve Smith is the wild card. I think that's really, an interesting addition to our team. I think that not only will he benefit Joe, but I think he's going to benefit Gary Kubiak. Gary comes in, very accomplished guy, but he's walking into a fairly static environment where all our stars are back. And to add Steve to the mix, I think that Gary can benefit a lot by having another Pro Bowler that has had success, great success. And I just think it's going to, in a weird way, add to Gary's credibility, because he's going to have one other set of outside eyes that's going to be contributing to this this development of that offense.
Do you think it brings an attitude to the offense, that might have been lacking last
year? Yeah, I mean, I think that we're a little wounded losing Q and then losing Dennis. And then, of course, let's face it, our line struggled and our running back struggled, and that's the cart and the horse thing that our running backs, So I think that we took it on the chin. I think it was very humbling for us to produce such paltry numbers, as an offense. I think that if we had Eugene Monroe on a 5-year deal instead of a 10-game rental, and we had Pitta back, and we make a couple offensive line, changes here and there, I think that we'd be better. I think that we'd be more confident. But you're coming off of a disappointing offensive performance, and I think that adding Steve Smith is really cherry on top. I think that it will. I think that we did miss it. I think Derek Mason brought something with his. I think, in history, Derek Mason's the only one that ever yelled at Joe Flacco on the sideline, right? And grabbed his helmet.
Right, Carolina.
And Q brought that same, throw me the damn ball kind of attitude. And I think that his stats would prove that, Q would have one catch for 8 yards in the first half and then have 140 yards in the second half. So he demanded the ball. And Steve's that way, too. And I don't really think that that's going to hurt our other wide receivers. I think that it's going to let guys like Marlon Brown and even a Torrey Smith say, yeah, this is the way we want. Our standard is excellence. And Steve's personal standard has been excellent.
Right.
I think it will bring a nice attitude to us.
Right. What do you think still needs to be done in terms of the offense? Is there still additions that need to be made?
Yeah, and I think that we've gotten to the point in our free agency in the last 2 weeks that at least we've balanced out and filled the holes and re-signed the players that had we lost Pitta and had we lost Jacoby or Eugene Monroe, we'd be sitting there either finding someone of lesser talent levels but being happy that we're filling in holes, or having glaring weaknesses in the draft. And that's all our as a management team, that's always our decision, is to look at our available cap space and figure out how much we can fill in to have a depth chart, a roster that doesn't make us reach in the draft. Mm-hmm. And so, especially with Zutai yesterday, culminating in Zutai yesterday, I think that we've put ourselves in a position that we can let Eric and Ozzie do what they do best, and that's, have a fair draft, a legitimately fair draft, where they take the best players. So, we can identify wide receiver, we'd like to add one, we'd like to add a tight end, we'd like to add an offensive lineman, like to add a safety. We need a third corner if it's to compete with Shockey and Asa. You've got 5-6 positions, and we'd like to add a running back, whether that's free agency or the draft. So there's 6 positions, and I think that with 7 picks after these comp picks come out, I think we'll get a pair of 4s and a pair of 5s probably. So that'll put us with 7 picks in the first 5 rounds. You lose guys like Arthur Jones that were 5th-round picks. You lose guys like Ellerby that were undrafteds. And you're ending up getting equal or better value 4 years after they gave us a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we can have a really fair draft now. And but I don't be surprised as fans if we turn around and take a middle linebacker and an outside linebacker at 1 and 2, because right. that's Ozzie's MO. If they're there and they're highly rated on our board, then we're going to pluck some positions that maybe not look like needs. And goes back to our very first draft when we needed a running back desperately, and Ozzie took a left tackle with a fourth pick in the draft, and we didn't need him.
So worked out pretty well.
He worked as a guard, I think, as a rookie.
Right.
So, you know, the very first pick he had, he took the best available player, and we didn't even have room for him at tackle. And so this Hall of Famer played guard for the first year.
Right.
So we're in a position where if that's what we take, then that's what we take, and we'll be happy with it. And the fans will know that we got a player that we had rated higher than those other positions of need.
Do you think this is one where, you know, you could trade back potentially because of the lost picks of Monroe to get even more in what's considered a very strong, deep draft class?
Gosh, somebody said, one of the GMs yesterday was quoted as saying, Kevin Colbert from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. that because this is a very deep draft, everybody feels that way, that trading out is not going to be an option, that you're not going to get good value. That people, everybody wants to accumulate more picks in a deep draft.
Right.
And so his feeling was trading back is going to be harder this year than it ever is. So, you know, no. I mean, you know, to sit at 17, since I've been involved in the team, we've been at that level, I guess they said, Suggs, right. Nada, and Joe at 18.
Right.
So this is only our fourth time that we've had one under 20, and we've come across pretty well on those picks. So we traded back to get Joe, and I think we traded up one to flip for Nada one spot. And Suggs fell to us because supposedly he couldn't run fast enough.
On the topic of the offense with Joe Flacco, just kind of your take on his year last year and whether you have grand expectations or big expectations for him to rebound this year, especially given putting more weapons around him.
I think that Joe deserves the benefit of the doubt. I mean, we saw the progression for 5 years, so he has a down year, he throws a lot of picks, but Joe historically didn't throw a lot of picks, and he's dealing with Marlon Brown, and Pitt is gone, and Anquan's gone, and Dallas Clark and Brandon Stokely. So all brand new targets. That's going to happen. And I certainly look at last year as an aberration. I expect to see great things from Joe.
Ray Rice is obviously a big talking point in his recent arrest. Just, what's your take on him and whether he'll definitely be back with the team next year regardless?
Oh, he'll be back with the team. He'll definitely be back. It's I don't think anybody, I don't know of any other player that's ever generated as much goodwill in our building and in our community as Ray in those 6 years. So I think you'd look at Torrey Smith and say, you know, he's certainly exact same. He's well on his way to that, his community involvement, his positive attitude, and his never hurt, plays through injuries.
Right.
So it's very disappointing, but, you know, to say that it's disappointing, if Ray was the kind of guy that was susceptible to trouble, then I could sit here and say to you, this is terribly disappointing to me. I think it's selfish for me to inject my own opinion about that, although I am the owner. I know how terribly disappointing it is to Ray and his fiance, how embarrassing it is for them. And so I have to have compassion towards him. And I've talked to him a couple times, and I know that he can, he can't erase this. He can't change what happened in the past. And I've been on record as saying my definition of character is repeating offenses.
Right.
It's like if we're all one strike and you're out, then we're all in trouble. So it's how you respond to adversity, and Ray has not experienced any. He's just been lauded as the nicest, hardest working, greatest guy on the team and in the community.
Right.
And so we have to support him, and I think we'll be rewarded by him maturing and never putting himself in a situation like that again. And I certainly see him doing great things for us from a football standpoint. But I think he'll do great things in the community, and I think that he'll be even more of a mentor to people after you watch him respond from this kind of adversity.
Right. You know, that wasn't the only off-season, you know, issue. You know, Jogger, Deontay Thompson. Just, is there any concern about the team's image or whatnot?
You know? Well, you're always concerned about the image, but the fact that they all happened all at once, you know, really is embarrassing to us. But you know, we have to figure out exactly what is going to happen to them, whether the league gets involved and whether the courts actually ever get involved in these things. You know, I said you're going to have some of these mishaps, but they are a smudge on the organization. I don't know whether if they were spread out, you know, would that make it better or not? I think that we just have to roll with this. It kind of comes with the territory. But these guys have to realize that they're not kids. They're grown men. And that, you've got to find your balance in life to make sure that you don't put yourself in these kind of situations, whether it's hanging out with the wrong people, being in the wrong places, or drinking too much in public, which may, I think, contributed to maybe one, if not all three of those issues. So all of our players need to grow up and make sure that they don't find themselves in that position.
Right.
Whether it's them, the three that got in trouble, or the others that didn't. Hopefully that this is a great learning opportunity for the ones that have maybe narrowly avoided this kind of trouble in the past, and will change their behavior to make sure that it doesn't happen to them.
Right. Another topic that's really big is playoff expansion in 2015, something that's kind of looming, I guess, or whatnot, a possibility. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the playoff thing, I'm in favor of it. I haven't heard any. We're working now, the competition committee and the broadcast committee, figuring out exactly how you replace those games. So that's more of an issue. I think that it's showing that most owners are in favor of the additions. It only pushes us from 38% to 44% of the teams make the playoffs. And in basketball and hockey, it's over 50%. I think it's 16 of 30. Baseball's at 33%, but I think they're talking about raising the participation in the playoffs. So, you know, the fact that we have such a short season, and you've seen wild card teams like us and the Giants and the Packers, I believe, all won a Super Bowl coming from the wild card spot. So that is proof to me that you're not diluting our product by adding two teams that may have won those last three games at 6-7, get to 9-7. And they can make some noise in the playoffs. So right. I'm all for it. I think that we can work it into our schedule, and hopefully it prompts us to look at maybe reducing the preseason, which aren't exactly hand in hand. But I think that we're trending in that vein, and I'd like to see that too.
Right. Now the big topic this offseason was the hiring of Gary Kubiak and your involvement in that. Just once you set the record straight for Baltimore fans, for Ravens fans, what your involvement was in hiring Gary Kubiak?
Well, you know, you can't ever set the record straight if there's people basically questioning your honesty. And, you know, my job is to counsel John and give him advice. I had no idea that Gary Kubiak was even available until John called me and told me that he had talked to Rick Dennis, and I think they had a relationship because they were special teams coaches. And in the very beginning of this thing, he was not a candidate because we were under the impression that he was doing the Lovie Smith, sit out a year, relax, and then maybe get back into it with his health problem scare that he had had. And so he really wasn't a candidate that we had considered. And through the course of a conversation that John had with Rick Dennison, he was convinced that Gary would at least want to talk to John. And I was in Florida, and John called me and told me that development, said that Gary had agreed to fly in the next day, and 24 hours later, he was being announced as the coordinator. So that can show you my involvement. anybody that reports that, you know, the same person that reports that I forced him to fire Cam Cameron is the same person that decides that I am in charge of forcing him to hire Gary Kubiak. So people can believe what they want to believe, but it kind of goes against everything that I've ever believed in, is from a tutorial management standpoint, is to give people good counsel, give them good advice, and let them make decisions. And so that's where that is. I still haven't talked to Gary. I haven't welcomed him aboard. I guess I will in May when I see him.
Can you talk a little bit about the growth of John, what you've seen from him over the years?
You know, the interesting thing about John is that he may be a little more sure of himself, but he hasn't replaced he hasn't replaced anything that has to do with him seeking counsel. So it's one thing to be more comfortable, to be more sure, to be more determined, to be more clear, but he doesn't not talk to Ozzy and I and ask us for advice. That, to me, is the mark of a great leader, in that you can become more confident, more accomplished, and more sure of yourself, but you're still just as interested in your partner's decisions. Bad leaders tend to ask less questions of you because they're sure they know what they've got. They're now more sure, they're now more confident, they're now more experienced, so they don't need your counsel. Right. And to me, that's what says to Baltimore, John's a great leader, because he never replaced that inquisitiveness with assuredness.
Right.